Have an anchor that keeps the soul stand fast and sure while the billows roar. Fasten to the rock which cannot move. Run it firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the strains of fear when the breakers of the reef. Fasten to the rock which cannot move. Run it firmly in the Savior's love. It will surely hold in the floods of death. When the waters fall till our latest breath, and the rising tide it can never fail. The hopes alive within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fasten to the rock which cannot move. Round it firm and deep in the Savior's love. Fast and sure while the billows roll. Fasten to the rock which cannot move. Round it firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Maybe we could all stand our feet and we'll sing one more before our brother Gary comes tonight. We'll sing Standing on the Promise of Sinners. We're on our feet. Like Billy Paul said, we're not sitting on the premises, but we're standing on the promises. Amen. Are you standing on the promises tonight? Because you can't depend on nothing else. Stand on the promises of God. Amen. Stand on the promises of Christ our King. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. The promises I now can see, perfect rest, cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. On the promises of God, standing on the promises.
Bless you this evening and welcome into our service. Just while Samuel was singing that hymn, or we were singing it together, I had thought of a little story. And it's amazing how some things that stick in your head. But one time Samuel and me, a long time ago, were at a meeting. And at the meeting, there was a man there talking, and he told a story that what happened during World War II, I believe it was, either World War I or World War II, but there were some American troops was over here. And they come to a field, and there was a boy was in the field with his horse, and he was working. That's what he was doing. He was working with the horse, and the American soldier, he thought he would flatter the little fella, and he said, "Boy, that's a great looking horse you have. I'm sure he's a fast runner." And the wee boy says, "No, he's not a fast runner." He says, "Well, I'm sure he's a queer, good strong horse, and he'd be very good. Maybe he'd be good for jumping." He said, "No, he's not that good for jumping. He's not that fast." And the man says, "Well, what is he good for?" He says, "He stands fast." He stands fast. And you know, sometimes it's good to stand fast. That means to be secured when you're on the rock, Christ Jesus. You know, in this day and age, there's so many tossing, toing and froing. Men blown about with every wind and wave of doctrine. They don't know whether they're coming or going. But it's good in these last days to have your feet upon the rock, which cannot be moved. Even as we sung it there, anchored firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Let us turn in our Bibles this evening to Psalms 145. And a little message this evening. I have, haven't really prepared too much for it, to tell you the truth. I just want to let the Lord lead. Just want to let the Lord lead this evening on what he would say, or I'm trusting in him to inspire me what to say. But Psalms 145, I believe this will be an encouragement, and it's hoping to be an encouragement to you. To anyone that would listen in the future. Psalms 145, I'm going to read verse 14, 15, and verse 16. I think this is really beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of literacy, and it's a beautiful message in it. Psalms 145, verse 14. "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing." Praise God. Let's bow our heads as we ask God's blessing on us. Word. Our Heavenly Father, we just commend this word to you this evening. I commend myself to you, Lord God. I pray that every vain imagination and every thought of man will be cast down, but only what the Holy Ghost would say this evening, let it be said. I pray you'll touch these lips of clay from the hot coals from off thine altar to speak the word of the Lord this evening. And may this word be an encouragement and an uplifting, even as we have read here, that you lift up those that are fell down. And we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will receive unto yourself all the glory and honour and praise, for Lord, it belongs to thee, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may take your seats, praise God. Well, I really think this is wonderful. And it's a beautiful message, because, you know, in personal lives and personal walks, we fall. You know, the Solomon says that, and I don't know where to turn this away because I don't want to shout, but so that everybody can hear at the back. Solomon said, I believe it was Solomon, or else it was David, said that the just man falls seven times daily, but the Lord upholds him. You know, there's none of us free from falling. And when you fall, generally it isn't pleasant. You know, if a little child's out running about and they fall and they skin their knees, and maybe they take the knees out of the trousers, there's usually, sometimes there can be a scar. You know, if you're falling hard enough, some of the wee lads maybe has come off the bike. And I remember one time Isaac was coming down the hill on the bike he had got for Christmas, and he fell off the bike, and there's a scar in his leg from where he fell. And sometimes when you fall, the devil would like to leave a scar on your life. I know obscurity can be a constant reminder to you of the time you fell. I know when you are fallen, the devil tries his best to mark your body. He tries to put his mark on you. And the reason why he wants to put his mark on you is so that you'll never feel like getting up. The devil always wants to keep you down. He never wants you getting up. He doesn't want you to feel like you're up, because when you're up, then you do outlandish things. You have a good spirit about you. You're feeling like you can go into action. But when you're down in the dumps, as Tommy often says, down in the dumps where I never go. But sometimes, you know, you can be down in the dumps and you don't feel like doing very much. Your mood can be very low. And it says here in this scripture, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. So in our own natural state, each in our personal lives, each and every one of us fall. But even greater than that, we have a fallen nature. And we need help. But I remember John telling the story about the little boy one time. And he was running along. Maybe it was the beach. I don't know where he was. But he fell. And the person or the parent said to them, "What are you doing down there?" And he said, "I'm getting up." Amen. And you know, that's really wonderful. Because if you are down, get back up. Amen. You might be down, but you're not out. There's a scripture says in the Psalms also says, though we are fallen, we are not utterly cast down. You know, the Bible says, Psalmist David, you know, it's wonderful, the inspiration and the revelation that the Psalmist David gets from God. And, you know, it just thrills my heart so much. And even now I want to talk about it. Just, there's something in me that bears witness to it and wants to express. But he says he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. He says that the Lord will not stride forever, and neither does he'll not chide forever, and he'll not always be angry. But he says, his compassions they fail not. The Lord is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and quick to forgive. Praise God. And that's right, Brother Jeremiah said that, "Great is thy faithfulness, his mercies are new every morning." I know it's a wonderful thing that God made provision for us, because he knew in our own selves that if it was up to us to keep our salvation, if it was up to us to keep ourselves, we wouldn't last a week. But, you know, it wouldn't be much of salvation if you could lose it in a day, would it? Wouldn't be much value to it. If I said to you, "I'm going to give you something, I'm going to give you a car here, and the car is £100,000, but you'll get about 60 miles up the road and she'll lie down on you," it wouldn't be much of a car. You'd want a guarantee. If you're spending that amount of money, you'd want a guarantee. But God has given us a gift that money couldn't buy. There never was a value put on it. Yeah. Some valued it at a low price. I was listening to Brian and he preached a sermon about the value of innocent blood. Judas valued the blood of the Lord at 30 pieces of silver. But it's invaluable. You couldn't put a price on it. And there's a lifetime guarantee with it. A lifetime guarantee. You can't exhaust it, praise God. And you know, the Lord made provision for us, for he's seen that we were fallen. And he had compassion and mercy on us. That we sung that hymn there this evening. And they were lovely hymns and very in keeping with what I want to speak about tonight. But how awful and how helpless and how hopeless we sinners had been if he hadn't have loved us to cleanse from our sin. But you see, he didn't wait for us to be cleansed from our sin. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." The Lord upholds them that are fallen. Verse 14, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall." That's everyone in here this evening. You may think to yourself, "I've went too low." But the psalmist David is contrary to what God's word says. You've got to be careful of thoughts that you think. Tommy put a thing up on the WhatsApp there. It was wonderful about the thoughts. You know, sometimes thoughts can fly over your head. And sometimes the crows fly over the fields. But if you shoot at them, don't let them land. Scatter them away. Drive off the carcass. That you see, Abraham had that vision, and he made the sacrifices, and the fowls of the air, which represent evil spirits, they can come down to consume or devour the sacrifice, but he drove them away, and it's up to us, you know, drive away Satan, don't entertain him, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But this wonderful portion of scripture, it says that we have fallen, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and God knows that we were fallen, and God reaching down his hand to lift us up when we do fall, because he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. He knows that we are nothing of ourselves. He knows that we're helpless. But God in his grace and God in his goodness talks about upholding us. And I thank God for that, because even though it may look like we've fallen, even though it may look like there's no way back, but the Lord upholds you. And the psalmist David said, I got on to say it and I lost my train of thought there, but it's contrary to what the Bible says if you thought you'd went too far, because David said, And this was a revelation from God. And I believe David's ministry was prophetic. And he said, whither shall I go from thy presence, O God? He said, if I ascend up into the mountains, behold, thou art there, into the highest hills. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and ascend into the highest parts of the earth, thou art there. He says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. That's why we sing that little chorus, and it's a wonderful little chorus. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. You can't get over it, and you can't get under it, because no matter how high you go, you can't go past God's love. No matter how low you go, you can't get under God's love. No matter how wide you go, you can't get around God's love. God's love is infinite, and there's no escaping it. And God made his love known to us all. So the Lord loves us, and the Lord upholds us. And though we think that we've went perhaps too far, we've fallen too low, that God wouldn't want us. But you know, this is a very striking thing I want you to realize this evening, that the ministry of Jesus Christ, the reason why he come, the Bible says that he come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his time, because they couldn't understand why he was dining with the dregs of society. And that's what it was. They couldn't understand it. But he said that those that are well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. You see, Jesus come for the sick. Jesus come for the needy. Jesus come for those that were filthy and stinking and smelly. He came for us. That was the one he come for. And then he can wash you in his blood. It gives the Lord great satisfaction to cleanse a sinner. It gives him great satisfaction to rescue you, and then for you in return to return praise unto him. It says, all that fall, and then the latter part of verse 14, and raiseth up. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord raiseth up. The Lord restores my soul, the psalmist David said. The Lord raiseth up those that be bowed down. I think of that little hymn we sing, the love of God is greater far. And there's a verse in that says, the guilty pair bowed down with care. You know, they had an awful pressure on them. You know, whenever you bow, generally if you're bowing in shame or something like that, it generally comes because of pain. If somebody was to run up and hit you an unexpected almighty thump in the stomach, you would bow. You'd bow in pain. But there's another type of pain that can cause you to bow. In the book of the Kings, we read about how Solomon, the two harlots came before Solomon, and of one of the women whose child the other woman had overlaid, or she tried to steal it. It said that her bowels yearned within her. She was bowed down with care. Well, you know, that's the devil's very good at making people bow down with cares in this world. He's very good at telling you the opposite of what God says. And, you know, there's many things that can make us bow down with care. Worry. Financial worry can make us bow down with care. If we are so concerned about the cares of this world, when we come to church, we're not going to feel like praising God. If we're so bowed down by the fears of this world, by the fears of man, we're not going to feel much like praising. And that what we end up doing, we deprive God of his worship and the praise due to him. And also then the devil, he's laughing. But what does the scripture say here? I read of David here, and we see a man that's got experience. A man that knows what it's like to fall. A man that knows what it's like to be bowed down low. Perhaps bowed down so low that you would never think again of raising your head. Indeed, whenever David heard the news of his child that wasn't well, when the child was born to Bathsheba, he lay on the floor. He got as low as he could go. He lay on the floor and lay on his belly, and he stretched forth unto the Lord, but the Lord uplifted him. And it says there in verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee. That's an expectation. And I think it's wonderful that God gives his people expectation.
Amen.
You know, it's wonderful to have hope. It's an awful thing when there is no hope. But the psalmist David here, he's talking about the reality of life and the circumstances of life. There's going to be times when you fall. There's going to be times when you're bowed down. But it says here, this is wonderful, the eyes of all wait upon thee. You know what I think about when I think about that? I think about a dog. And how has anybody ever had a pet dog? And sometimes I used to have a black Labrador, and I'd done a bit of training with him, and what I'd done was treat train him. And what I'd done was, whenever I was training him and he'd done something right, I had a bag over my shoulder, and in the bag in a certain pocket there was treats. And whenever I would put my hand in the bag, he had an expectation. Every time he'd done something right, he had an expectation that he was going to get fed. And you know, whenever the dog comes and you're maybe eating your food and the dog looks up at you, who's ever had the dog look at you as if he wants to eat your dinner? You see, his eyes are upon his master because he is waiting for the master's command. He's waiting for instruction. His eyes are upon his master. And he's waiting in anticipation and expectation to receive instruction or to receive reward from the master or from the owner. And that's what I think of. The eyes of all wait upon thee. And that's how the believer should be. Our eyes should be upon the Lord, waiting with expectation. You know, the devil's good at killing expectation. He's good at trying to take expectation away. It'll never going to happen. You've prayed for this person, they never got better. You said you believe in healing, but this person died. You said that you believe in restoration, but that person never showed no signs. You believe in salvation, but they never got saved. The devil is a liar. And the Bible says, all they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But our eyes should always be upon the Lord. And it says, and thou givest them their meat in due season. God will supply all your need. God will take care of you. If your eyes are toward him and your expectation is toward him, he will take care of you. For this is wonderful here. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. What a wonderful thing it is when you're bowed down low and God opens up his hand. When you're bowed down low with a debt you can't pay and God opens his hand. And maybe money comes through the letterbox or somebody gives you a gift. Who all had God open their hand to them? Who all had a need that's been met? Who all had something where God has reached down and opened up his hand and satisfied the desire of every living soul, of your soul? This is precious to us, this is personal, because God supplies all our need and takes care of all our need. You know, the Lord is wonderful. This hand opening up is God giving. And when we were low in sin, and when there was nobody else available to help, in due time, in due season, God sent forth his Son to wash us from our sins, to cleanse us, to save us from our sins. In the fullness of time has come, he sent forth his Son. This is the psalmist David said, that he gave us them their meat in due season. God will sustain you. God will take care of you. But where are your eyes looking to? What have you got an expectation? Are you looking on to the Lord with expectation? Maybe you're bowed down with sickness. And you know, it's so easy perhaps to turn your eyes to something else. Because you know, it's very hard in this body of flesh to operate faith. Because this flesh is governed by five senses. Taste, see, touch, smell, and hearing. And if we're carnal, and if we spend all our time feeding the carnal man, the spiritual man is not going to have much strength. And when it comes to a miracle or receiving something from God, we're not going to have much faith. But if our expectation is on the Lord, and if our eyes are always upon him, I think that's one of the eyes of all wait upon thee. Are we waiting upon the Lord? If we wait upon the Lord, we'll renew our strength. They that wait upon the Lord, as I says, shall renew their strength. So that when adversity comes, when trial comes, when opposition comes, we look to the Lord expecting that he opens up his hand and that we receive the desires of our heart. If you have a desire for healing this evening, God can open up his hand and grant you that desire, because from his hand comes healing. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from him, from Father, from him above, praise God. And you know, that's wonderful, because everything the good that we have received came from God. And it was God's own hand. It was God's hand who ordained salvation. It was God's hand who provided for redemption. It was God's hand who provided for us. It was God's hand that took us out of the horrible pit. You know, God wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Sure, he wasn't. You know, sometimes Samuel talked about this morning, but some people's afraid they get their hands dirty. But, you know, the Bible says that he lowered himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he was identified with sinners, with publicans and harlots and tax collectors. He got his hands dirty. But God's hand is a given hand. And you know, it never runs dry. It never runs out. Never says, I've run out of resource here. You can't exhaust what comes from God's hand. It's pressed down and running over. There's an abundance. You can't ever outdo it. You can never drain it dry. You can never take too much of God's hand. But our expectation should be on him, so that when the Lord stretch opens his hand, that our desires would be satisfied. You know, throughout the Bible, there was many people who had a desire. Think of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And you know, he was there a long time, the Bible says. And he had an expectation to get to the pool. But he had no man. You know, as the devil try to kill your expectation, slowly but surely he'll try to kill it. But you know, there was one day when God opened up his hand.
Amen.
And he sent Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
And he knew what it was to be raised up, because Jesus gave him his hand, praise God. And he lifted him up and he said, take up thy bed and go thy way, and his sins be forgiven. And that's wonderful whenever God stretched out his hand. You know, the lame man in the book of Acts was carried daily and was laid at the gate of the temple to ask alms. He was a beggar. But you know, he had been begging for a long time, and when he met Peter and John, he was expecting something natural. And sometimes God can exceed our expectations, because he got something that he didn't bargain for. But God stretched forth his hand, and God reached forth his hand by the hands of Peter and John, and they took him up by the right hand, the Bible says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You think his desire was fulfilled? Of course it was. If you're lame, you don't want to be lame. If you're lame, your desire is to walk. If you're sick, your desire is to be healed, to be made well. If you're blind, your desire is to see. If you're dying, your desire is to live. And we were all dying. And the greatest act, and the greatest act of charity and love that God gave this world and displayed to this world, when God, by the greatest demonstration of all, was when he reached out his hand at Calvary and provided a lamb. God reached out his hand and gave a lamb. And that lamb's blood atoned for the sins of the whole world. And that was merciful, and that was gracious. And the eyes of many were expecting to see it. Many people's eyes were expecting to see the Messiah, and perhaps he didn't always come the way he came. But, you know, it's good to have an expectation. But it's good also that when we look at this Bible and we see in hindsight that we have a lot more truth, and we have a lot more light than what these people would have had, because now we can see the nature of Jesus Christ. We can see the very desires of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Stretched forth his hand. He opened his hand and satisfied the desire of the leper. He satisfied the desire of the hungry. When the 4,000 and the 5,000 were hungry, and the disciple says, send them away, for there's nothing to feed them. He stretched out his hand. He opened his hand and he fed them. He opened his hand. He took in his hand 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when he opened it, he fed 5,000. When he opened his hand, he took up 12 baskets of fragments of leftovers. That's the abundance of God. God doesn't do things. God does never skimp. When God does something, he does it well. When God does something, he does it forever. The Lord's not in poverty. The Lord, it's nothing to the Lord to meet your need. It's nothing for God to open his hand to you this evening. But our eyes must be upon him, and we must have expectation. I was listening to a sermon this morning. Brother Howard Searle was preaching at Brother Brand's Fellowship in Australia, and he was talking about the expectation of the resurrection. And you know, he said in that sermon about how that Jesus told his disciples many times that he must be placed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and after 3 days rise again. And he told them it many times. Well, he made a very good point. How many of them were at the tomb on the third day waiting to witness the resurrection? It wasn't one of them. Wasn't one came. You know, we often sing that hymn when Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus. And I always say, you know, she came expecting to see a dead Jesus. But God exceeded her expectations. Because I'll tell you what, it was one of the greatest times. Isn't there some great events in history? Calvary is one of them. The greatest event in history surrounds Calvary. And you know what the next greatest event was? When God opened his hand, what did he do? When he opened his hand, what did he reveal? An empty tomb. God opened his hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. What was the desire of the apostles at that time? To see Jesus. And that he wasn't dead. You see, Satan had put doubt and fear in their heart, because they had thought in their own mind, they had seen with their own eyes. And surely your eyes couldn't lie, and they had seen him die. And they seen him give up the ghost, they took the body off the cross, and they put it in a grave. A
and it seemed like it was all over, but God exceeded their expectations. And he opened up his hand once again, and he revealed an empty tomb. Praise God, I think that's wonderful. He satisfied the desire of every living thing. I want to ask you this evening, does that satisfy you that when God opened his hand, he revealed an empty tomb? That he rolled back the stone, and that he revealed an empty tomb. And what did he present? A risen, living Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? He opened his hand. Is Jesus the desire of your heart this evening? Is he your desire? Is he your chief desire? You see, if he's your chief desire, you can expect great things, because he done great things. His nature is great. His will is great. Amen. He wants you to be well. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be in, the Bible says in the Epistle of John, brethren, I wish above all things I may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. God's a generous God. I said this morning, you know, whenever God gave his son, he didn't hold back. He gave the best that he had. The very best. He gave the best. You know, there's nothing worse when you go somewhere. I can remember one time when I was a little boy, maybe about 10, and I was always had a notion of chickens. And it was Willie's fault, really, Uncle Billy's fault, because Billy used to tell me about a rooster he had called Mickey. And Mickey had some exploits, so he had, and I was always fascinated with Mickey. But anyway, I got liking the chickens, and there was chickens at the farm where I was spent a lot of my time. And this time I had went way over the fields. There was a boy lived at St. Patrick down a lane, and he had a lot of chickens running about. And I went and I asked him, would he sell me a chicken? And he sold me a chicken for £1. And you know, the thing about it was, if today, if I had a chicken like that, I would pull its neck, because it was lame. It was no good. He gave me something he didn't want. And it's not awful when you get something that you don't want. You know, or somebody gives you something that they don't want themselves, because it's not good enough for them. But God doesn't work like that, praise God. God give the best. And I'll tell you now, I want, I crave, I desire what God has for me. The Bible says that we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. Our desire should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is truly wonderful, and he is the greatest thing that this world has ever seen, and he can be yours today. And it'll not cost you a penny. Not cost you. Come by without money. You don't need money for this. Not going to charge you £1. His goodness isn't going to run out. If you get him today, he's not going to forsake you tomorrow. No, he doesn't not forsake you. This Jesus, he's a good Jesus. This God's a good God. Like Brother Larry says, he's a good God. Hallelujah. He's a loving God. He's a loving Father. Praise God. When else did God open up his hand? On the day of Pentecost. He again, as I said, pressed down and running over. What were they expecting? They were expecting, where were their eyes toward? The promise that Jesus had given them. He says, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye receive the promise of the Father. And what happened? Like verse 15 says, the eyes of all wait upon me. Oh, that included Peter. That included the fisherman who cursed. The man that fell. The man that when he first heard about Jesus, he wasn't really interested. He had a dirty mouth. And then also he was bowed down, because he bragged and done a bit of crowing about how much he loved the Lord and what he would do. And I think it's good that we would want to be like that. But you know, really and truly, that none of us can do nothing outside of God's help. None of us are capable of anything. We need the Lord's help. But you know, Peter was bowed down with cure. For whenever that rooster crew and was brought to his memory, the words that the Lord had said to him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. And Peter was bowed down. But on the day of Pentecost, his eyes were upon the promise. Praise God. Because what does the scripture says? He upholds all them that fall. He upholdeth all them that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. He raised up Peter to be the leader over the disciples and to go to the Jews. He was the first one really to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. He raised them up. Because whenever Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen. See, the Lord's merciful, isn't he? Isn't that mercy? Isn't that good? Whenever he rose from the dead, even when he raised from the dead. He opened up his hand toward Peter. And he desired the desire. He fulfilled the desire and satisfied the desire of Peter's heart. You see, Peter was bowed down. And he was needing the Lord to open up his hand to receive from the Lord to satisfy that desire, that he was accepted, that he was pardoned, he was forgiven. And that's wonderful to know this evening that we're forgiven. Even though we might have failed, even though we might have made mistakes, even though we were bowed down with care, we were in an awful state. But yet, once again, the Lord, full of mercy, opened his hand. He opened up his hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. I think that's wonderful. But you know, on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus had left in the promise, Peter's eyes were upon the promise. All the disciples left and fled the Lord. I'm sure they're all feeling shame, but their eyes were upon the promise. And what happened after 120 days? You see, what does it say here? Listen to this here. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Didn't come in one day, didn't come in 90 days, didn't come in 100, but in due season the Holy Ghost came. And it came with might and authority as a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible says that, as it were, cloven tongues of fire rested upon each and every one of them, and the Lord opened up his hand again. And what happened whenever they opened up the hands? They began to speak in other languages. They prayed in other tongues and they rejoiced. And they were so satisfied because the Bible says that he will fulfill the desire of all them. The desire shall be fulfilled. That they were so happy that their desire was filled. It expressed. It expressed so much that people thought they were drunk. And they said, what is it that these men are drunken and this is only the ninth hour of the day? But what was it? They were satisfied. Their desire had been satisfied because God opened up his hand and satisfied the desire of their souls, praise God. You know, what is it that we are desiring? You know, sometimes we live under our privileges. Can God do it today again? Can God do it for you? Can God do it in your life? Of course he can. The Bible says, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, you might be bowed down with sickness. You might be bowed down with care, but the Lord will uphold you. The Lord hasn't cast you off. The Lord's not finished with you. He's not, you know, sometimes you get a faulty product, you bring it back, you want your money back. God doesn't work like that. God's faithful. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God can bring you through. God can bring the most unlikely of people through because he's God. And that's a speciality, praise God. But you know, our desire this afternoon might be for a healing in our body. But the devil has tried for so long, it doesn't work. It'll not work. But don't ever listen to him because the devil's a liar. The eyes of all wait upon thee. You need an expectation. The Bible says that all that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to be waiting upon the Lord. Our expectation has got to be upon the Lord so that whenever trouble comes, the first port of call is to God on us in prayer. In Christ Jesus, the world here, everything's fast and everything goes quick and we think to ourselves that there's another easier option. The best option is prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not on to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. You know, the devil wants to try to tell you that it's too late. It's never too late. The Lord is full of mercy. And if our eyes are upon him in due season, he will stretch forth his hand and he will open his hand. And he will show the goodness of the Lord. He will show you his goodness. He'll give us an expectation because the Bible says, as Samuel even said this morning, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So if his nature was to heal the sick, then his nature today has not changed. And if he's changed, he's not God. Again, an Old Testament scripture says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, the devil wants to make you think that you're consumed, but you're not. Amen. You are not consumed, you're redeemed. Hallelujah. That's the opposite. You've been purchased, you've been bought. You belong to him, you're his property. And it's up to him to keep us. And it's his will. He took on the responsibility. Hey, you know, sometimes whenever you buy something, you buy it maybe and you think to yourself, well, whatever it is, but you have to take the responsibility for it. If there's problems in the house, if you buy an old property and it's needing renovated or fixed up, it might be woodworm in the house, whatever it is, but you buy it a scene and there's no comeback. And that's what the Lord's like. He buys you a scene. doesn't look for a comeback because he's not doing a renovation job. No, knocks her down. Praise God. Starts from the foundations all over again. Just like Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. And when he watched that potter working on the wheel and the vessel become marred, he didn't say, I'll work a wee while longer and see, can I make an improvement? No, went back to the start. Made a new vessel. Praise God. And that's what God does. Doesn't do renovation jobs. Doesn't do patch-up jobs. It's not a patchwork quilt we're working with, but it's a new creation. New creatures in Christ Jesus. But you know, God can give us an expectation. What about the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Where sometimes we're living below our privileges because we haven't got an expectation. And you know, sometimes that we go through life and maybe it becomes mundane and come to church and everything, we just go in and out the same way all the time. But you know, God wants to speak to us. God wants to open up his hand. God wants to satisfy your desire. Your desires must be towards him. No point in your desires being on the things of the world, on your desires being on things that worldly things and goods can get you. No, because you might do that, but when it comes to something that the world can't offer you, it'll not save you when you're dying. But this old-time religion, praise God, it'll save you when you're dying, praise God. And it'll make you stop your land. And it'll make the devil fly. It'll start the devil flying. It was good enough for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Praise God, give me that old-time religion. Praise the Lord. You know us, the devil wants to deprive us of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want the power of God in our midst, and he wants to deprive us of that. He wants to take away our expectation, but we need to have an expectation. You know, so many times the devil sends little messengers, and there's so many things, and you know, for years we've heard for so many years about the false tongues and about the tongues of the devil. I know that never was a problem in our church. It never was a problem in our fellowship having false messages and tongues. That's not a problem. But the thing about it is, you know, the devil will not counterfeit anything that hasn't any value. He'll only ever counterfeit that which has value. Value. And what does the Bible say that he that prays in an unknown tongue says he edifieth himself? Amen. See, the devil has working very craftily. And he knows, and he never misses a service, he knows. If I can get these boys scared off the tongues, I'll put up a few scarecrows. And I'll tell them all the horror stories. I'll tell them all the false, don't mention the true. You know, if we have any discernment at all, discernment's a gift of the Holy Ghost. But if we have any discernment, we should be fit to discern the true from the false. Don't ever fear the true because of the false. Because tongues is a wonderful gift. And the Bible says to covet earnestly after the best gifts. Now, some people say, well, tongues are the least of all the gifts. Well, if you haven't enough faith to pray for tongues, I would say start off with the tongues. But there's tongues, and then there's interpretations of tongues. And that's the same as prophecy. And then there's words of knowledge. And there's words of wisdom. And there's gifts of healing. And there's gifts of faith. But they're not going to be operated if people don't have an expectation or if people's afraid. And you see, the Bible says that fear bringeth a snare. That's what fear does. It means that people's afraid to operate in the gifts, you know, but we really ought to ask God, and we ought to be specific. Because God can take care of your very need. God, if you have a specific need, the Lord can take care of it. Now, I know this evening, I'm sure everybody in here, and if I ask people to raise their hands up, I'm sure almost everybody would put their hand up, of a time that God met a specific need for you. Whenever God opened his hand for you and satisfied the desire. Now I have testimonies that I could share this evening what God has done for me that very little people know about. You know, it's wonderful. I'll share this with you. I haven't shared this publicly before. You know, whenever I started up my business and work, I was driving a van that wasn't really big enough for me. And I needed the van. And the Lord gave me a real good van with only like 40,000 miles on it. He gave it to me. And I didn't pay anything for it. The Lord opened up his hand. And I'm only saying that for God's glory. God's glory, because God opened up his hand to me. And I'm sure there's people in here this evening where God has opened his hand towards you. Now that's just a natural need. And that doesn't compare to the need that I had as a spiritual man, that I needed my sins forgiven, because there wasn't a man available who could do the job. There wasn't anybody on this earth. You couldn't take a power washer to me and make me clean. You couldn't take a bucket of bleach If you took all the acid in the world, all you would have is nothing. But it'd still be filthy. But it took the blood of Jesus. And it cleansed me. God opened up his hand. God reached down his hand in love. And he opened his hand toward me. And let me be a partaker of the bread of life. And he cleansed me from my sin and all my unrighteousness. But you know, the devil wants to deprive us from the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But God has already opened his hand. And God has demonstrated. And we hear testimonies upon testimonies. We read it of old. But sometimes we're maybe not expecting it for now. Just like Brother Hard had mentioned in the testimony of the woman Mary that come to the tomb. And she said, "What have you done with my Lord? Where is he? Tell me where you've laid him." But Jesus said on the third day he was going to raise from the dead. But they hadn't got an actual expectation that he'd be raised from the dead. Now imagine this. If somebody comes through that door this evening, a woman, and she says, "I've just seen my granda. He's been dead for 40 years, but I've just seen him. He's down the street. Come and see." How many of us would actually think this is the resurrection? Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Or how many of us would think that woman's head's not right? That woman's false. Don't take nothing to do with her. Well, maybe the very fact that she's a woman would cause a brave lot of people to think. But it was a woman. The woman was the first person to see the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. It was a woman. And then there were several women after that before any man seen. You see, they hadn't actually an expectation, but I wonder if somebody was come through. Have we got that expectation? I remember John used to tell the story, I believe, was it Leon, Brother John, about opening the curtains in the morning, or was it maybe it was yourself, about expecting to see the Lord there. He expected every morning when he got up to see the Lord. Well, if you believe that the Lord's coming back, and I'll tell you now, someday we are bowed down with the cures of this world where the things of this world can get us down. We've heard this morning how that they really call darkness light, and they call light darkness and sweet bitter and bitter sweet. That's the age we live in. But you know what God's going to do? Our eyes ought to be upon the Lord for his coming again. Because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I'll tell you now, as sure as I'm standing here, and more sure than not, without a shadow of a doubt, he is coming again. The Lord is going to once again stretch forth his hand and open his hand. Amen. And receive us up into heaven, praise God. Receive us up to be with him. The Lord's coming back for a catching up. Amen. And what is the catching up? It's the Lord opening his hand. And what's he going to desire? Listen, what is your desire this evening? To go to be with the Lord. Is that right what Paul say? To me, to live is gain, to live is gain, but to die is to be Christ. So he wanted to go to be with the Lord. He said it was better for him, it was more profitable for us to be, for him to be here, but for him it was more profitable for him to go, because he wanted to be with the Lord. What's our expectation? Brother Billy often used to say it, the only hope of the right-thinking man was the coming of the Lord. That's what our eyes, that should be our expectation this evening. Our expectation should be the coming of the Lord, along with all the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Healing is mine. Prophecy, all the gifts of the Spirit, everything that God has set in order to the church, he has set them there for you. Don't be thinking that you can rob God of those things. Don't think that there's not enough to go around. I would never encourage somebody to be greedy, but if it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, I'd encourage you to be greedy. Take all you can get. Take all you can. Ask for more. Want more, desire more, because if you don't want more, you'll not get more. Do you ever hear that saying about somebody said about the cog that does the most squeaking is the one that gets the oil? Do you ever hear that? That's because if you have an old bike or something starts making a lot of squeaking noise, run, you're going to give it the oil, but you maybe ignore the rest. And I think that's what we need. We need to squeak a bit until we can learn to shout. But if we can start telling the Lord and pleading with the Lord, then he'll give us the oil. Hallelujah. He'll give us the Holy Ghost, but you've got to want it. The Lord's not a forceful God. At one time, I remember a priest on the sermon about the threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. And it was a wonderful type because a cord or a rope is what we call a tensile strength, where an iron bar is compressive strength. And the difference in a rope and an iron bar and compressive and tensile strength is, with a tensile strength, you can pull or you can push. You can't push with a rope. Can't push with a rope. If somebody was drowned in the sea and you put a bar in, you could push them on down under with a bar because it's what they call a compressive strength. But if you throw them a rope, it's a tensile strength. And in order for you to avail of it, you've got to pull on it. You've got to pull on it. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. But if you want to avail of God's gifts and what God has for you, you've got to pull on it. You've got to pull on it. You've got to want it. Do you want rescue this evening? Do you want healed this evening? Do you want God to meet that need this evening? Have you got that expectation? As I said, for the coming of the Lord, our expectation should be the coming of the Lord. Our eyes should be waiting upon him, because in due season, and that may be tonight, it could be tomorrow, but it is going to happen. The Lord's going to open his hand again, and he's going to satisfy the desire of all them that's waiting on him. Waiting on him. Now, we've got to be waiting on the Lord, because the Bible says in such a time the thief cometh, in such a time they think not. And those that's not waiting or expecting, that if they'd have knew when the Lord was coming, then they'd have sat up and watched for him. And we know the parables of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The Bible says they all slept. But the Lord help us to have some wine at this time and to be expecting his soon return, because the Lord's going to come down. And for those that's waiting on him and expecting him to come and to receive them out of this cesspool, he's going to raise them up. He's going to lift them up. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The Lord's going to raise up. Even those that's bowed down to the grave, God's going to raise up. The graves are going to open. But have we got an expectation? Are our eyes upon the Lord for that? Because that's going to be another mighty thing. The Lord's going to stretch down his hand and he's going to open his hand. And with the opening of his hands, the graves are going to open. And he's going to satisfy the desire of every living thing. Isn't that wonderful? That they which are dead in Christ, the saints that went on before us, they're waiting for that resurrection too. But God's going to open his hand. And with the opening of his hand will be the opening of the graves. He's going to open his hand. And the angels are going to come. I'm sure everybody has heard Brother John's testimony. If you haven't, I recommend you'd go on the Brands Preborn site in Adelaide, Christian Fellowship, Faith Tabernacle, and listen to that testimony. You know, the Lord opened his hand to our Brother John. Yeah. Not right? He opened his hand and satisfied the desire. John had questions. Not right, brother? Did he satisfy you? He satisfied the desire of your heart. That's what he does. He's no disappointment. The Lord's not a disappointment. The Bible says that he satisfies the desire of every living thing. That's me. I say this evening, he's my portion. He's what I'm looking for. And I just encourage you this evening that the Lord is coming again. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, that our expectation will be upon him. Don't let the devil rob you. If you fail, he can lift you. If you're bowed down, he'll raise you up. Even if you've been into the grave, he'll still raise you up. There's no limits for this God. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. Let's bow our heads, praise God, and we'll come to a closure. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening, Lord, for these wonderful words inspired by the psalmist David. Oh God, you indeed are our satisfying portion. Lord, nothing else can satisfy this evening. Nothing else, Lord, can bring the thrill to our hearts and the satisfaction, Lord, that you do. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll help each and every one of us, Lord, to be sincere and to be waiting upon you, Lord. Lord, that we'll not just have words, but Lord, that we'll have actions to follow our words in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, this evening that you'll bless each one that's here this evening. And Lord, if there's any that's needing, Lord, the opening of your hand to them in their lives, I pray, Lord God, indeed, that you'll do it, and that our eyes will be upon thee, Lord, expecting, waiting, looking to you, expecting to receive the answer, expecting to receive that substance, whatever it may be this evening, Lord, that we will have an expectation, that our eyes will be looking to thee, waiting for the opening of your hand to take what you have provided for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, now just as this service draws to the close, I pray, Lord, you'll bless each one and take each one to their homes in safety in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for this Wednesday night, come and pray, Lord, you'll bring us again, Lord, to have fellowship once again around your word. And we just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that in all that we do this week, that you'll help us to give you the glory, the honour and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we sing all of it? Maybe if all we can come in and hand over to Samuel. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the first of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Let us stand our feet. I'll start us off and then I'll hand over to Brother Samuel. Amen. Who can change?
cheer the heart like Jesus, by his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, I'm blessed to call him mine. Oh, that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000.